Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share them on social media. Tons of great writers and podcasts up on the site over at AmericaOutLoud.com. Tonight, we will be joined by a Gold Star dad, Carl Porfirio. We are excited for that and to hear his story and let our audience hear what he has to say. But first, I want to talk about what we continue to see in this woke culture. What has happened in Virginia is beyond the pale, but you have people like Barack Obama downplaying it like it is nothing that a little girl was raped in a women's restroom of all places. Texas and Governor Greg Abbott recently took a step to protect women's rights. No, I am not just talking about the abortion bill, but he signed a bill banning transgenders from competing in women's sports. They have no place competing with biological women, and it is just an attack on women when that takes place. Anyways, Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Andrew. And I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. This is definitely going to be a rather interesting show, a very thoughtful show. Have someone on tonight who's going to be talking about his son who actually served in Afghanistan, where Joe Biden withdrew. It was a failed withdrawal. And of course, the media, they pivoted from it. They don't want to talk about it. I saw the other day that they were going to award the 13 soldiers that were killed because of Joe Biden with, I think, a Freedom of Medal award. That's good, but it didn't have to happen. Joe Biden could have planned a lot better, but he was looking at a photo opportunity for September 11th, just like he's looking for another photo opportunity if he's able to pass his infrastructure bill. Now, we're airing this at night. We'll probably wake up in the morning and they probably pass it. Who knows? I hope that's not the case. He's going to Glasgow and he wants to fly in on the president airplane, step off, stumbling and mumbling and saying, oh, look at what I did. We're all about the green. You guys should become green also because we're doing it. You can do it. Well, Joe, think about this. We're not the biggest polluters in the world. It's China and India. So why are you attacking us? We've long since reduced our carbon footprint. And you also got to remember, a lot of our jobs have been moved to China and India and Bangladesh. As I've said before, I hope to God that when this does air, they still have not given him an infrastructure bill. I don't want the country to fail, but I want this man's policies to fail because it's only an extension of Barack Obama, whom, as you said, Andrew, is saying that, oh, these people in Virginia, they're mad, they're all upset. It's phony. This culture thing is all phony. No. What if your daughter was sodomized? What if your daughter was raped? But then, too, he is a liberal. And he would probably think nothing of it. I think back some years ago, many years ago, I heard that there was another man who was running for office, Michael Dukakis. And they were asking him, or put the question to him, if your wife was raped, would you want the rapist to be killed or put in jail? You know what? The son of a gun said, absolutely not. That's just how they roll. They don't care about you. If they don't care about themselves, why should they care about you? But Obama is a different breed because he's an arrogant SOB. He thinks he knows more than anyone else. He thinks that he's better than anyone else. He's smug. He's disingenuous. He's bougie. He does not care. I'm surprised he got on the campaign trail for Terry McAuliffe. But of course, when he got there, he insulted everyone. You guys are zeros. You don't know anything. Come on, vote for him. Get him in. Let's continue our radical process of changing the world. It will affect you, not me, because I'm trying to be a billionaire. I'm hanging out with Bruce Springsteen and all the other cool people while you little peons are just there looking, waiting for me to say something. I never liked the guy. I never cared for him. But yet and still, he's on the stage. Look at everything that they're changing around us. And we're supposed to pretend as if, though, it's good. We're okay with it. It's going to help us out. No, the hell it isn't. But yet, here we are. A month out from the failed withdrawal from Afghanistan. Here we are. The media talked about it a little bit. Remember Jake Tapper. Why wasn't Biden thinking? What did he do? I can't believe this happened. And then the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, Mr. Woke in the Flesh, who just decided that we're going to change the passport and we're going to allow for people to put an X just in case they don't want to declare what gender they are. And you got all these people out there, we like that. Really? Well, you better not go to Saudi Arabia because you probably won't get in. And I guess you've worked out an agreement with all these other countries that if they look at your passport and they see X, they'll give you a hands up and a hoo, hoo, hoo. Only in America. We're the laughing stock. They're trying to change all this stuff. Now, just wait until you have men changing their gender, terrorists, just to come here to kill us. It will happen, Andrew, because we've had it to happen before. Remember, on the plane from Afghanistan, you had some men on there dressing like women trying to come over here. And why wouldn't they? Why shouldn't they? We're not checking. We're just trying to make more diversify America. We want more diversity. In addition to regular people, we also want to diversify with terrorists, with radicals, because that's the only way we can be diversified. 13 soldiers lost their lives. Ammunition left behind. Wasn't Trump's fault. I don't care what they say. He had an agreement. And he said, you can do this and that. And if you dare do something that you're not supposed to do, you think that you're going to read 100 virgins or whatever? Well, you better get ready because we're going to send your bags and you're going to go to packing. But with though Joe, they could care less. And then what does Joe do? Oh, well, we're going to send out a drone. And we're going to show them who the boss is. Oh, really, Joe? How many children did that kill? Yeah. But let's pivot. Let's not talk about it. Close to 1,000 Americans still in Afghanistan. Tony Blinken. Oh, I think it's about 50. No, Tony, it's more than that. But let's pivot. Send the media a memo that they can talk about it just a little bit, but then pivot as soon as possible. We have moved on. People have forgotten about it. But on After Dark, we're not going to forget about it. How can we forget about it? These were Americans that lost their lives, Americans that were fighting for this country, Americans that believed in this country. And close to 1,000 Americans still there. Probably some of them are being tortured. We see the pictures in the newspaper of other Afghanistanis that work with the Americans that are tortured, and the media blinks and don't talk about it. Why? Why won't they talk about it? If it were Trump, we would still be talking about it. He would probably be impeached over it. 2022 can't get here soon enough. And yes, you better impeach him. And I don't want to hear about, well, this can't be about reciprocity. Who cares? Every president has to be impeached. 13 soldiers. Afghanistan. A disaster. Humiliation. But they want it to seem as if, though, Joe, Mr. Dementia himself, Joe, who's in decline, is the top dog. Shame on you all. Shameful. Shameful, shameful. But yet, as I said, here we are. Our guest tonight, Carl, he knows something about Afghanistan because his son, I think, served there. Carl, how are you tonight?
Thank you, Rob. I'm fine. I'm doing okay. And hello, Andrew. And thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm very honored. You have such a great show. And I just hope millions and millions will be listening to it. Yeah. And you need to be on in the morning, Rob, because you get me so fired up in the evening that I can't go to sleep at night because I get so freaking fired up. And then, you know, if you fire these people up in the morning, and man, they might carry it through the day and take it to work with them and, you know, and tell a few of these liberals a thing or two.
That's what we got to do. Carl, that's how we are, because we go on, we have our show after dark, we talk, we get all fired up. And then when we go off the air, we continue the conversation, don't we, Andrew?
Continue it out in the parking lot where everybody can hear you. Just exactly. Do it out there. You know,
we continue the conversation. So, Carl, tell us about your son.
Okay, my son. Excuse me. It's the month coming up, and right. I still get emotional. I miss him dearly. I still get emotional, especially with what's going on, you know, in the world and our country, with the things you just mentioned, with Mr. You know who. I hate to even speak his name, but. My son's been gone. He'll be gone 11 years next month. He was shot 3 times in the back, point blank range, in 2009 by, this is what they kept quiet, and a lot of people don't know, and I think they tried to keep me quiet, but they weren't using the term green on blue back then. Are you familiar with the term green on blue? So what it was is, okay, so we were supposed to be assisting the Afghan army, of course, and we were over there helping to free the Afghan army from the radical terrorists. And one of these Afghan army snuck into my son's camp and shot him in the back. And he did it in the name of the Taliban. Mm. So when I hear this, you know, I just go to tears. I can't wake up from this nightmare. The whole time Barack Obama was the president, God, I can't believe I said his name. You know, I had to hear ISIS every single day for 8 freaking years. I had to hear it. And all I could hear is those shots being fired into my beautiful son's back. Right. And he lived for a year. I don't know why he shouldn't have lived. Looking back, I remember I'm a Christian, and I remember just praying for his life to be saved. But I think I've regretted that so much because I had to see him suffer for a year. I had to see how badly he suffered.
He made medical history. I read somewhere that you said that your son was on borrowed time.
He was on borrowed time. He lost, you know, I don't want to gross out your audience here, but you know, he lost part of his spleen, his stomach, his intestines. One of his ureters was severed. You know, that's the tube that goes from the kidneys to the bladder. So he had a constant bladder infection all the time. And that's painful. He couldn't eat. He had a colostomy, which was later reversed.
Right. The surgery that they performed was phenomenal. It had never been done before.
He actually made medical history. And I tell a lot of people that because they almost would scoff sometimes, like, oh, you know, your son's not the only, you know, soldier that got shot. And I said, you know, because he got so much attention, and trust me, my son did not want that attention. He did not want that attention. They were contacting me because Porfirio, come on, you know, it's pretty easy. It's a pretty easy name to find. I'm not a guy that's hard to find. So they say, well, we can't get a hold of this soldier. Hey, we'll get a hold of his father. So, you know, I was a realtor at the time and my name was out there and they got a hold of me. I would come home from the office and there would be media vans sitting, you know, TV station vans sitting in my driveway. And I would, hey, what are y'all doing here? And they, you know, they say, oh, well, you know, we know you're going to about to have a phone call with CNN and Fox News, whatever, you know, and I go, how do you know this? You know, you all are in the media. And they'd say, oh, you know, it comes across the wire. It's what we call the AP and we know everything that goes on. So anyway, he had what was called an islet cell transplant. When he was shot, he lost his pancreas. And if anybody knows anything about the pancreas, it's a very important organ. And when it dysfunctions, you know, you become a diabetic. Some people are born with diabetes. Some people get it like myself, who eat too many Twinkies, and then they get type 2 diabetes. You know, so you get diabetes and you have to take insulin or you have to take pills to keep your blood sugar down. You have to watch your diet, of course. If, you know, people that know anything about diabetes. So he lost his pancreas 100%. They had to remove it. But before they removed it, a doctor by the name of Camillo Ricordi out of the University of Miami School of Medicine, he developed a process where he would take the pancreas and take the islet cells. Those are the cells that produce insulin, the pancreas that produces insulin in the body. And the liver, by the way, also produces a small amount of insulin. So anyway, he removed these cells from my son's pancreas. He did something with them, some magic with them, and they injected them back into his liver. And his liver started acting like a pancreas, and it started producing insulin. My son was not on insulin. He had no pancreas whatsoever, but he was not on insulin, which is a miracle, a phenomenon. So yes, he was the first person ever to have it due to a trauma, you know, since he was shot and they did all that. I didn't know the night they did it, if he was going to live or die. They told me they couldn't promise me that he would survive because, you know, so many of his organs had been damaged. And they said, you know, the trauma of the surgery itself might kill him. I don't know how he made it all the way from Afghanistan back to Walter Reed. This was done at Walter Reed, by the way. And if any of your listeners have never been to Walter Reed, it will change your life forever. These are men and women that go out and serve or who have served, and they go to Walter Reed. And I couldn't even go through there without tears in my eyes. I mean, not only was my son damaged, but I had to see all these boys and girls. And I call them boys and girls because, you know, I'm mature and I was old enough to be all their fathers, maybe some of their grandfathers. But, you know, I see these boys and girls with no legs, no arms, you know, no eyes. And you know, my son struggling for his life in the ICU with all these tubes running in and out of him. And it's very traumatic. And you say, I can't believe our children are over there fighting in another country for their freedom, not just for our freedom, Rob and Andrew, for their freedom. That's what my son was over there for. So as of yet, you know, I got really pissed off when they were talking about, how dare we leave some of these people behind? How dare we? Now, I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with that. But at the same time, they kept saying, "What they helped us." And I keep reminding people, no, we were there helping them. We were there trying to free them from this radical Islamist terrorist. So they acted like they were doing us a favor, in other words. I'm like, no, they weren't doing us a favor. Our men and women were doing them a favor, plus all the other countries that were helping out. It's not just the United States, it's all the other countries. So, you know, he made it after many surgeries. They took good care of him. I can't ever say they didn't. And he made it. He made it a year and a week. And then he laid down and never got up again. And that's what happened.
You know, Carl, we thank your son for his service.
Thank you.
We thank you for giving us your son to serve this great country. And all of those people that are out there that don't respect the country, that don't realize that it's people like you and your family and your son that paid the ultimate sacrifice to put on that uniform, not knowing what's going to happen, having an idea, but you're hoping to come back home to be with your loved one. And then you have people to turn their backs on America, on their country, spitting on the flag, stomping on the flag, taking the knee, turning their back on the flag, but yet and still they expect for this country to give them that freedom. And you know what? We give it to them. We give them that freedom. We allow them to do it. And you would think that they would show some respect or have some respect. How many people know who your son is? Your son's own son, I think. How old is he now? 10, your grandson, Landon?
You did do your homework. Thank you so much. He's 11. I saw him yesterday evening, by the way. He's great. And he's starting to look more and more like his daddy. And it's a really hard relationship because, you know, he was only 8 months old when my son left this world. And I got to hold him through the funeral. And that's what got me through the funeral. Without holding him, I don't think I'd ever would have made it through my son's funeral. And I just remember holding him. She just kind of walked up and you know, I had only met her a couple times before, you know, the baby was even born. And then they came to my house once after the baby was born. My son showed up and I was in tears. He just showed up on my doorstep. I was amazed. And, you know, then we went around and said hello to the old folks, you know, from, you know, he went to school in South Georgia and near the Florida border. And, you know, so, you know, we went around and he was stationed in Ohio, by the way. He was up in the Dayton area, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. So, you know, he came, handed me the baby, and I was just elated, you know, my grandson, my first grandson. And he's, you know, and I just, he's my whole heart. He just means everything to me. But it's a struggle. You know, they were 20 years old. You know, there's a big difference. Right. And she was in the Air Force. She's Carl, also a veteran.
Right. But Carl, you wrote a book.
Yes, sir.
About your son, for your grandson, and for all those other veterans, so that people will remember. And as I said, I thank you and your son.
Thank you.
For what you've done for this country. And people don't realize it. Now, they could probably name all the latest rap stars and all these people who have done nothing for them, have not made a sacrifice. But someone like your son, how many people will remember? But what you have done in that book, your son will never be forgotten.
Well, I hope you're right, Rob. But, you know, Dr. Seuss, I'm not. And it's just been amazing patriots like yourself. Just through... I'm not good at social media, but just through my Twitter and the amazing patriots that I have met that have been supportive and that have bought the book. And as a matter of fact, I'm going, I was just invited to the local library where I donated a copy, and then the librarian called me, and I'm going to go read the book to the children next month. And so, and talk a little bit about, you know, about freedom, about what it is to be a veteran, what it is, what a Purple Heart is. And so it came to me almost like in a dream. You know, I'm not a writer by nature. I'm a talker, obviously. You can hear. So I guess this is putting your talk down into paper. it was almost like a dream. And so I had this grandson, and you know, a couple of years go by, and I go, I got to tell him. I wasn't allowed. I was absolutely not allowed to tell him about his father. And though she would let me keep him at times, even for the whole summer, and I have this big giant blown up picture on canvas of my son smiling with his big smiling face. Everyone always talked about, oh, your son's smiling. I'm like, gee, he never smiled at home. What the hell? I mean, you know, he was always smiling. You know, your kids never smile at home. Just FYI, they smile for everybody else, right? But no, he was a great kid. and my grandson turns to me. Landon turns and he says, he calls me Nono. By the way, Nono is Italian for grandpa. He calls me Nono and he said, Nono, who is that? And I said, that's a friend. Now, I wasn't allowed to say, that's your father. And he didn't know. And I didn't want to traumatize him because she immediately married. And he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's in the Army, National Guard, and he's getting ready to go Army. And he loves Landon and Landon loves him. And that's the only father he knows. And then right about the time the book came out, which was a little over 2 years ago, it was just... coincidentally, she decided to tell him that he had another father. And it just, I mean, he came to me and she said, go ask Nono. She just said, go ask Nono. And he comes to me and he had this funny look on his face. And I said, what's wrong, Landon? And he said, my mommy says my daddy's not my daddy. And I said, well, of course he's your daddy. And she said, no, she says I have another daddy, but he left us. And it just ripped through my heart. And I said, Landon, he didn't leave you because he wanted to leave you. I said, I didn't want to say the word, you know, and then I just finally said, he died, Landon, he died. And he just didn't know what to say. And he said, well, who is my daddy? And I said, well, turn around. And I pointed to the picture and I said, that's your daddy. And now he's starting to look like his dad so much. Mm. It's just kind of, you know, and he does little things that remind me of his father. And he, you know, he'll never know his father. Like I said, he was 8 months old. He'll never know him. So I wrote the book. You want me to talk about the book, Rob? Or?
Absolutely. Tell us about the book. Because so this podcast will live on, and hopefully you'll be able to share this with Landon, and he will know who Trey, the American patriot, was, what he meant to America, to do what he did.
And he did volunteer, by the way. He didn't have to go to Afghanistan. He wasn't voluntold. He was in the 88th Communications Squadron. So his job was to keep communications going. Now, he was in the middle, when he was in Afghanistan, he was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, literally in the middle of nowhere. And they had these little, they're called combat outposts. So, you know, little cops, they call them, combat outposts. And he was there and they do the little razor, what they go to put the wire around. And it's just it's a shack. And that's how these are treated. The Afghan army, I think their facilities were even better than the Americans, but they're just shacks is what they are. You know, sort of like what you saw on the old MASH show or whatever. And they're just in the middle of nowhere. And my son said, Dad, you know, he Skyped to me from there. And he said, the biggest danger is going to the helicopter to transport anywhere. He says, because these guys would be picking you off from behind the rocks, you know, the Taliban and all that. They would be shooting at the soldiers. And then he was done in by an Afghan army soldier, which was, you know, who said they caught him and they, you know, and he said he did it for the Taliban and, you know, an infidel. He had to, you know, he had to eliminate an infidel, and it just happened to be my son. So anyway, I got the inspiration for the book. I said, you know, I got to tell Landon. So I wrote a book. It's called My Daddy's Heart is Purple. I wanted children to learn what the Purple Heart is. And like the librarian said to me, she said, you know, I've researched and there's nothing like your book out there. And I didn't think there was. And I said, you know, children need to learn what a veteran is, what a patriot is, what it means to sacrifice when their mommies and daddies go away. It's not just a job. It's a sacrifice for the whole family. And you know, they have to leave and go away and, you know, be away for a long time. You know, it's not just a few days or a few weeks, it's months and sometimes a year or more that they go away on a deployment. And, you know, they have to wonder, you know, the wife has to wonder, the kids have to wonder, and or vice versa. Sometimes it's the mother, you know, it's not just men that are soldiers, it's the women as well.
Carl,
and sometimes
so
the father's home. Yeah. And sometimes the father's home and the mother goes away.
And I don't think people understand that concept. I mean, I myself was thinking about it the other day, and I'm thinking, wow, a mother and a father. And when it's a mother and the dad is at home, she has a baby, and then she's got to go back out there. So when I see these knuckleheads that criticize the army, I see these knuckleheads that have absolutely no respect, it drives me insane. Because I'm like, do you not understand what is happening? Do you not understand the sacrifices that these individuals, for you to be able to sit up and do nothing but attack the country and say that it is the worst country in the world?
Right.
The sacrifices that their families are going through, for you to be able to sit down on your butt and attack the greatest country in the world and then say, oh, America's bad, I don't care anything about America, then why don't you get out?
Exactly.
Because it's people like your family who've paid the ultimate sacrifice. It's unbelievable. Go ahead. I mean, I have to say, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, we are here with Carl Porfirio, the author of My Daddy's Heart is Purple, and we'll be back with him after the break. If you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Healthy Cell reinvented vitamins. Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. You can mix it into like a smoothie in the morning with a blender. You can just drink it with water or do like I do and just drink it right out of the package. You can save 20% off on Healthy Cell with the code OUTLOUD. So head on over to healthycell.com and use the promotional code OUTLOUD. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more with Carl on After Dark with Robin Andy.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutloud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back after dark with Rob and Andrew. And before we went on break, Carl was sharing with us the book that he wrote about his son, Trey. And I was lamenting or going on one of my diatribes about the ungrateful Americans that don't appreciate this country. We are not perfect. I will say it again. We are not perfect. What country is perfect? Tell me. And if there is a country that's more perfect or better than the United States of America, for all of those naysayers that hate the country, why don't you pack your bags and get out? Why stay here? If we're so bad, and you're saying that we're evil and we're white supremacists and we're that, why don't you leave? Because you already have people coming in from the border, because I guess they want to try some of that racism and all the other things that make us so bad. They're trying to come in. While you're talking it down, why don't you just go? Go to their country. Maybe their country is a better place, but you won't go. The only thing you will do is complain and say that it's not fair and you don't like it while other people are coming here. Why do you think the Afghanistanians are coming here? You've got to wake up and we've got to do better. This is the greatest country, bar none. Freedom, galore. You can make it if you try. And even if you don't try, heck, we'll let you live amongst the stars. But to complain and poo-poo on this country when you have patriots like Trey, who gave his life trying to liberate another country that did not appreciate it. And then we're bringing them here. And who knows, some of them will probably come here and become little radicals. It always happens. I mean, look at the guy who came here and raped one of our soldiers. Quiet as is kept. But we're going to put out front the American patriots, the people who did it right. The families that sacrificed, that paid the ultimate sacrifice, like Carl. Don't forget it. Don't forget who they are. Don't forget their sacrifices. And we thank them for the sacrifices that they made for this great country. Carl, please continue your story about your book.
Well, like I said, he always wanted to serve in some capacity. He always wanted to do that. And he didn't even get his last summer after he graduated high school. He graduated high school. He was already 18. he went like 2 weeks, 2 weeks after high school graduation, he went in. And God, I missed him. I thought, I'm the dad. I'm a single dad as well. I raised him, and it's time to push him out of the nest, you know. And I was so proud, so proud. I couldn't wait. You know, I didn't get to see him till basic training was over, and you go down to hot Texas in the summertime, and you see the graduation and all that. But this is what he always wanted to do, and like I said, he chose communications, and so he was fixing people's computers. And he's in the middle of the desert, and he's keeping communications up. You know, they still had to communicate with the command back in Kabul, back in places, and keep transmitting and all that. And that's what he did. What really kills me, Rob, is he probably fixed one of those Afghanis' computers. He probably, they were allowed to go to come back and forth because they're supposed to be on the same side. And I blame Barack Obama. Many soldiers have, because the rules of engagement were, we are not at war with the Afghanis, which we weren't. We were at war with the radicals, with ISIS and the Taliban. However, you didn't know, just because they had a uniform on, you didn't know who they were devoted to. And the point you just brought up now about them all coming over here, we do not know who they're devoted to. They're devoted to Allah. They're devoted to the Afghan. They're devoted to the, what is it called? The Levant and all that. That's what they're devoted to. They're not devoted to a supposedly Christian nation, or especially a Jewish nation. They hate the Jews. We have tons of Jews here in America. They hate Jews. So how are we supposed to get along with somebody who claims their hatred so much towards us? But yet, I get it. We go over there, and the Afghans that we were helping, they weren't the radical part. They weren't the radical, just like the Iranian people who don't like the Ayatollah. They're not the radical Muslims. They're not all like that. But now look who's in control. The radical Muslims. That's who's in control of Afghanistan right now. Thank you to Joe Biden, who undid everything that Trump worked so hard to protect our soldiers. Think our soldiers are so protected and Trump bent over backwards to protect our soldiers. And it was the first time my heart got lifted up, because all during that previous administration, I kept saying, did my son die for nothing? Did all these men and women go over there for nothing?
Absolutely now, not, Carl. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I know I've had people call me on that day. I think, they were really worried when, the announcement and the 13 were killed, and, people were calling me, and they would just call and say, Carl, he didn't die for nothing. Like they were reading my mind. Like they had read my mind. They didn't. And a few of our good patriots said it on the TV, they didn't die for nothing. And I still question. After what Biden has done now.
Wait, Carl, let me say this. I'll tell you sure. Why they didn't die for nothing. It wasn't in vain, because we still have our freedoms. And as patriots like me, you, and Andrew, and so many others that are going to fight to ensure that we keep that freedom. You have a lot of knuckleheads who claim to be woke, who don't understand this freedom. They don't understand it, but it's because of us, what we're doing, that we're going to ensure that they keep the freedom. Now, of course, some of them I could care absolutely nothing about, but I will defend their freedom and their rights to their freedom. I don't like some of the things that they're saying. I wish I can go slap them upside the head and then say, no, you can continue doing it, and then slap them upside the head again. But it is because of your son and you as a father who gave us him to say, like you said, it was on his own recognizance that he decided to enlist into the army. There are so many others, the folks that are out there, the naysayers that don't like the country. Do you think they would do it? Absolutely not. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. Okay, join the army and you can change things. Oh, I'm not doing that. Are you crazy? So it was not in vain, because we have that freedom. We have it. And hopefully we can continue the republic. But we have got to fight. It's not an easy journey. We have to fight, and we have to keep fighting and fighting and fighting, and then keep winning and winning. So it was not in vain, Carl. So Carl, tell us about your son. You said you're a single father, single parent. What was it like? What was your relationship like, if you don't mind?
Oh, it was good. It was good. Trey was he could be a smart ass, but he was a good kid. He was a good kid. He was Joe Jock. You know, he was throwing a ball, catching a ball, kicking a ball. He loved soccer. I would hear stories when he was in Ohio off at the base. You know, they have soccer fields and things like that. And it was one of the female airmen. By the way, he was in the Air Force. So one of the female airmen, you know, she had contacted me. She said, "Oh, Trey taught me how to score my first goal," and things like that. And you know, that just really made my heart sing. Or I would get, "Oh, Trey fixed my computer." You know, I couldn't. My computer was so messed up, but Trey fixed it. He was just one of those people. He would give you, I know, and I don't mean to try to saint him, because, you know, people tend to do that when they lose somebody. And no, he wasn't perfect, but he was almost perfect. But he's my son. Absolutely. He's my son. And he did. He made Airman of the Year his second year in. He made Airman of the Year. He called me, and I have to share this. I always felt so guilty over that. He calls me and he goes, "Dad, someone just told me that I made Airman of the Year." And I said, "This is horrible of me. I hate myself." I said, "Trey, are you sure they're not pulling your legs on? I mean, really? this is horrible of me." And he goes, "Let me tell you, he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. I mean, he wasn't dumb by any means, but he wasn't like this. He wasn't a scholar, but apparently he learned his job very well. And he knew how to take orders. And he would question things. If his commander said something that he didn't agree with, he would definitely question it. And maybe that's what they liked about him. But he was really good at his job, and they really liked him. And so, you know, when he volunteered, like I said, to go to Afghanistan, and he was just the kind of kid that would help anybody. You know, he was in church every Sunday. He was just he was that kid. He wanted to be everybody's friends. Now, if somebody betrayed him, forget it. That was the end. That was just the end. But, you know, even his girlfriend was just, she was just the sweetest, sweetest thing. I'm talking about his first girlfriend, high school girlfriend. You know, and that's just the kind of guy he was. You know, everybody, and like I said, everybody says to me, "Oh, that smile. Oh, that smile." At first I would go, "What smile? When was he? When did he smile? When did he smile?" You know? Because, like I said, you know, and then I look back and I go, "Oh my God, my son did smile. He did have this great smile," and you'll see pictures. You can see pictures of him on the internet, pictures that I don't even know existed. I couldn't even Google my name or his name because of all the press that came up, that, you know, he was in papers from coast to coast over that islet cell surgery. He made some doctors pretty famous. And, you know, he's in the New England Journal of Medicine. Somebody had sent me something and said, "Here's a picture, and he's in Ripley's Believe It or Not down in Florida. He's hanging on the wall in Ripley's Believe It or Not," because they said, "Here's a guy without a pancreas, but he's not a diabetic." So it's Believe It or Not. Mm. And, you know, doctors still don't believe it because they don't know of the surgery. But raising him was not hard. He, like I said, he was a good kid. He was always willing to help out. He was a daddy's boy. He was always willing to help dad. And, you know, he was there for me when I needed, he was there for me. And that's what made it really, really hard. Now I have an older son, who, the one that lives in Branson. He is a fantastic son. He does a lot of what you and Andrew do. And he's a great kid. And he was in Brazil at the time, and he couldn't leave to come to the funeral. And that was really tough on him. And it was really hard on me. And then it's hard to me because Trey was my go-to guy. Trey would be the guy that, you know, I have five boys and he's the second oldest. And Trey would be the one that I would consult and say, "Hey, what am I going to do about your little brother? What should I do?" You know? And so I didn't have Trey to consult anymore. I didn't have, you know, he was truly my buddy, someone I can talk to. And he was a talker like dad. He was the talker. And he was just a great kid. And people liked him.
So when Joe Biden, and I call him Resident Biden.
Yeah.
When Resident Biden, I mean, completely screwed up in Afghanistan, what came to your mind?
I don't know if I could even describe it. It was just such a, just tears. It just, I every boy and girl, and I call them boys and girls, that gets hurt, that gets injured. It's just like a knife in my back, because all I can feel is I'm empathetic. Kind of empathic. I don't know. I hate that term. I hate it. But all I could feel was what I felt when I got that phone call. Your son's been shot. And you know, you get that phone call saying, you know, your boy's been injured, your girl's been injured. And we don't have the details. You know, that's what you get. We don't have any details yet, you know, because it's the military, of course. And they always be careful what they're going to say. They have to be careful, just like they were on the hush-hush down low, because, you know, they didn't want it out that another Afghan army shot my son. They didn't want that out, what they now call green on blue. Like I said, I don't think they used the term. I think they started using about 2010. So, and that's when he passed away. But they didn't want that to come out. You know, that wasn't going to come out in the paper, that somebody that was that we were helping, that was supposed to be on the same side as us, shot an American soldier. You know, no, they weren't going to let that out, because they didn't want, you know, they didn't want Obama to look bad, because all he ever did was touted Islam and how great they were and all that. So, you know, I said, every boy and girl that I know now that goes over, I say, don't trust them at all. Do not trust them. You know, Obama told people like my boy, oh, you treat them nice. You treat them like your brothers. You know, you don't wave your gun around in front of them. You don't, you know, maybe my son might have been a little more prepared when the guy shot him in the back. Maybe he would have been, you know, he didn't have his Kevlar on. He didn't have his gun in his hand. And so this guy, he knew that. He knew that. He was probably watching my boy for maybe weeks. I don't know. And he waited the right moment when the other guys weren't around, and he went in and shot him. But back to your question. Yes, he was just a great kid. He was just willing to help everybody out. He loved his job. He loved the Air Force. Second year, and like I said, he made Airman of the Year for communications. And he sent me the email he said, well, Dad, I got this email. He sent me the official email. And I was still, it's terrible of me. I was skeptical. I was like, someone's pulling his leg. Who's doing this to him? Somebody's, you know, who's doing this to my son?
Right.
And no, he was truly Airman of the Year. And then I went down to the local paper, because we lived in a Navy town down there near a Navy base, a submarine base. And I went and I said, hey, my son's Air Force and he made Airman of the Year. And I want you to print this picture of this, you know, and say something about him, you know, because Rob, just like you, I'm not here to honor just my son. I'm here to honor every man and woman that protects our country, that serves these families, what they sacrifice. You know, none of them needs to be forgotten, none of them. And, you know, Veterans Day is coming up, and people need, you know, to show that respect and show that honor, even though they should show it every day. And, you know, just like you said, this kneeling when they're saying the national anthem, it's like a bullet through me, through my heart. I just sometimes can't take it. It just gets so bad.
Right.
You know, what they do to our flag. Yes, sir.
Carl, why do you think that we have moved so far from respecting the country and appreciating what these men and women have done? I remember when I was a kid and you didn't see soldiers who came back home missing a limb, being burned. Now, we read about the Civil War, we read about World War I and World War II, but today, in today's society, we see this all around us, young men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice, who came back home, maimed. And like you said, you go to Walter Reed, I've never been there, I've heard the stories. And I think that if we could just get, as opposed to trying to go out and protest about Black Lives Matter, and we see Black lives killing each other in Chicago, take these folks, bus them to Walter Reed and say, this is what matters. These people are here so that you can exist. See if you can make it right. See if you can get along. Again, we're not a perfect country, but by God, we're a whole lot better than these other places. So why do you think that we just don't get it, and we don't see how blessed and fortunate we are.
You know, I'd say to people, they would say something ignorant. Well, he had no business going over there. Oh, you don't know how many times I've heard that. He had no business being there. We have no business over there. And I would look at them and I'd say, do you know anything about Israel? Could you imagine living in Israel's a pretty great country and very progressive. And could you imagine living in Israel and sending your children to school and not knowing if their school's going to be bombed by the Palestinians that day? And I told these people, I said, you know, you send your kids to school every day. Like I send my kids to school. Do you ever think that the school's going to, that a bomb is going to drop on the school or a bomb's going to drop on the mall when they go, when your daughter goes shopping with her girlfriends at the mall this weekend? Do you ever think that a bomb is going to drop on? This is what I would tell people. I said, we go over there so it doesn't come over here. That's the best way I always found to explain it to people. You know, we have taken our freedom so for granted. And unfortunately, our young people just don't know. And the sad thing is are they going to have to lose it to understand what it is? And hopefully not. Because this is the agenda. This is the agenda, you know, the New World Order. This is the agenda that they're working on to make children believe that we're just a bunch of rotten people that steal things away from everybody. And, you know, that's not it. And capitalism. They're also, you know, they're also jealous of capitalism. They love spending the capitalist money. And then every one of them, and I know you agree with this because I've heard you talk about it, Rob. Once they're rich and filthy rich, then they want to sit there and down everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Down. Once they've made all their money from capitalism, all these celebrities, all these NFL players, and I posted it on my Twitter the other day. I said, you know, they all made this money from capitalism. All of them did. And yet, then they turn around and then want to bash the country after they're millionaires, after they're stinking filthy rich and famous. And then they have the nerve, like Whoopi and those girls on The View, while they're going home in their limousines made by their capitalist money. And that's what they want to do? I mean, really? And then down these people? It's an atrocity. It's just horrible.
Yeah, it really is. Carl, you mentioned earlier how the murderer who shot your son was captured. Do you know whatever happened to him?
I was told, and I wasn't supposed to be told, but the person that told me said, they called me and they said, Carl, you have a right to know, because the Air Force wasn't going to tell me. And the Army, he was attached to an Army unit, and they're not going to tell you. Because like I said, they, you know, they were covering up Obama's agenda. What I was told was, the words, how he put it is, Carl, trust me, he was in worse shape than your son. And I don't know how that could have been possible, because my son was blown out, literally. And they said they ran him down. They got him. When I say they, I mean our guys. And the way it was put to me was the Afghan guys were so afraid that what our guys might do to them in retaliation, that they just backed off and they let the guy alone, like take him, whatever. And I don't know, you know, he wouldn't say specifically. All he put to words was, trust me, Carl, he's in worse shape. And all I could feel, Andrew, was, I said, you know what? There's another mother and father crying today. You know, I didn't feel any joy from that. I didn't feel any kind of revenge from that. All I felt was, there's two sets of parents crying, not one, two sets. For what? For what? For some radical Islamic idea, for some crazy hatred that says in your Quran, we must hate you because you don't love us. That's crazy. And so I pretty much think that he's not around, or he's pretty much permanently disabled, one or the other. I don't know. I tried to comfort my son by telling him he was gone. And he just said, that's good. And that was the only time we even mentioned it. After he woke up, you know, he was in an induced coma. And then, you know, he just said, he woke up and he said, he when he realized his father was standing over him, he said, that bastard shot me. That's all he said, but he couldn't, that's all he said. And he just couldn't, you know, kind of remember the whole thing. But then it came back to him later, and he said it on an interview that I didn't know existed. And I just cried my eyes out when I saw it on the internet. Somebody in Ohio was interviewing him, and he was describing his lunch being in his hands. And I couldn't imagine the pain. The pain that he went through, so much pain. And well, these boys and girls that suffer that pain for what? Because they love their country, because they're patriots, because they're willing to sacrifice all of that. We can't even get teenagers to sacrifice their damn cell phone, for Pete's sake.
Exactly. Or Twitter, you know, or TikTok.
They won't give up their cell phone for a day. And these boys and girls are giving up their arms and legs and lives. Really? It's just, so like I said, and when I wrote the book, and I want children to know, because I said, you said it earlier, Rob. You said, the young people, that generation, that's what we got to get to. That's what we got to get to, because they just don't understand what freedom means. They don't. I substituted. I was a substitute teacher for a while, and it was an English class or a social studies. I don't even remember. And something came up about it, and I said, you can't carry your Bible in downtown Baghdad. And she looked at me and she said, why not? And I just looked at her like, do these teachers not talk to you about this? Do they not tell you the difference between your freedom and their lack of freedom? Are they not explaining this to our kids? No, because they don't want to offend anybody. You know, they don't want to offend little Muhammad sitting at the next desk or, you know, it's like, really? So you can't tell the truth? You can't tell the truth of these kids that they throw gays off the roof? But nope. Your best little buddy over here is gay, but they're throwing gays off the roof?
Nope. They can't offend them, but if you offend an American or a Christian, it's like, oh, bring it on. Offend them all day long.
They can offend me. They could. Oh, well, your son, you should have been over there. The hateful things that have been said to me has been unreal. Unreal. And I let it go. I said, you know, I don't fight with liberals. I choose not to fight with them. I just say, you know, God bless you. Move on. You know, pray for your soul, because, you know, you're just lost. They're lost.
Yeah, well said. Thank you so much to our guest tonight, Carl Profurio. Please check out his book, My Daddy's Purple Heart. Great story, Carl. It's a very sad story, and we appreciate you sharing that with our audience tonight. Such powerful words, and we thank you for coming on, and thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who celebrated its 5th anniversary just this year. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We'll see you guys next time. Remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.